wait a minute, cut this.
Man, what you gonna do now?
What we gonna do right here is go back.
How far are you going back?
Way back.
As we go a little something like this.
Are you ready?
Get ready. It's time for a big exclusive with Valerie Denise Jones. Welcome to the show.
All right, guys. Welcome to Big Exclusives. I am Valerie Denise Jones. Thank you so much for joining me. Oh, my goodness. I'm laughing because of something corny I thought of prior to the show. I was thinking about this time this guy was flirting with me. And for whatever reason, he decided to be brave enough to ask me a sexual question. He asked me, what was my favorite position? And because my mind is always on business and coins, my response to him was, CEO. Guys, you probably think that's corny. You probably thought it was corny. I didn't give a damn. That's neither here nor there. I was sorry, not sorry. Yes, yes, yes. Always thinking about business. Yes, always, always thinking about business. Big media, big exclusives. What we do Tuesdays, Fridays, Mondays, you name it. That's where my mind is. So quite a bit. Throughout the next few weeks, you will hear this soundbite.
Want to know more about big media? Tune in every Tuesday and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to subscribe to our channels.
Yes, please do not forget to subscribe to our channels. Please continue to support us because we appreciate you. We love you to life. Thank you. Thank you to everybody who's already on the board. Thank you to our international callers. Thank you to the conversations, to the people who join our conversations before and after the show. We appreciate you. Guys, we got a great show for you today. The Boss Radio Live, Fuel the Great. We join forces on Tuesdays to bring you a good show. Big ups to Jeff Kwan, who introduced today's guest. DJ Speed, he is a unicorn in my opinion. He has got a lot going on, a man who wears many, many hats. Yes, he was intimately involved in the development of the West Coast first powerhouse hip-hop label, Ruthless Records. You guys have heard of that. Also, too, I want to hear more about his affiliation with NWA. We're going to talk about that, also the tours, and his book, Ruthless Years and Beyond. Ruthless Years and Beyond. Like I said, this guy is a unicorn. I'm very, very excited that Philo is going to talk to him here during the first half because I want to know everything. I want to know about his time in Compton, California. I want to know what it was like to live seven houses down from Dr. Dre, two blocks down from Eazy-E, and three blocks down from MC Ren. So we got all of that and more after this audio break.
Ruthless, my style is a juvenile, ran with a gang, slanged in the meanwhile, banking. I specialize in ganking white Mexican brothers and others daily. It's all about coming up, making sure no punks are running up. Because I'm a gangster having fun, strapped with the gat when I'm walking through Compton.
Compton's in the house.
DJ
Speed, he made it quite awkward for me to play his soundbite because he started talking about his daughter. Normally when you open up CeeLo's mic,
smoke weed every day.
But it was awkward to play because he had a five-year-old, the weed and the five-year-old, the judge, you know, didn't quite sync. But, he's a party in the bag. That's how we do it here. No shame. But welcome.
No, that's definitely dope.
No shame.
That's dope
because
Nashville was the first city we did, like, the tour in. Like, the first stop.
Mm-hmm.
The UVW tour.
Right.
Hey,
and I'm going to tell you about Nashville.
Real quick before you get crunk. Well, where'd the name DJ Speed come from? Because when I think speed, I think drugs, but I'm sure that's not what you meant.
Definitely.
What's up with the name? Yeah.
It basically came out of a phone book. I basically just closed my eyes and pushed, and it was like Speed Washers or something. And then it was at first it was Super Dope Speed. If you look on the back of, I think, the Easy Desert album and the NWA, it says Super Dope Speed. And even on my jacket it did, and I just dropped a Super Dope and did DJ.
Oh, Jeff Kwan calls you Speedy. Is there relevance to that? Do people in the Bay call you Speedy?
A lot of people,
okay.
Just put a Y on it. They put a Y on it sometimes.
Gotcha, yeah. Gotcha. All right, well, Philo, he is all yours. I've taken you as far as I can take you, DJ Speed. So I'll catch you on the back end. Have fun.
All right, for sure. So, DJ Speed, Valerie already got into the name, and like you said, you just opened up the phone, but what you do, I'm curious to see what you say, I need a name, everybody else got a dope name, we got Q, we got DOC, we got Dre, we got Ren, we got Yella, I need a name.
It was before even I knew the whole crew. I mean, because basically I lived 7 houses from Dre. I grew up around kindergarten, and everybody knew who Easy was. So everybody was in the 3-block radius. So it's just like I watched Dre DJ every day. So it's just like I wanted to be a DJ. So I forgot what my first name was, but then it came up with the Speed, and then it was Super Dope Speed and the DJ Speed. So everybody had dope names, so I had to get one too.
That's dope. So, look, let's rewind time. Let's rewind time. Because here, when interviews, man, we want to take the people from the past, the present, to the future, right? So, let's start with the past. For all the listeners, all our loved ones out there who mess with Big Exclusives, who mess with Boss Radio Live, who know Valerie Denise Jones, CeeLo the Great, we keep some good guests, and you're part of that family now. One of our great guests. So walk us down memory lane, man. Let us know, the people know who you are, just in case they're not familiar with the name DJ Speed or anything. So go ahead and break bread with us, bro. Give us that backstory. You got it. Let's get it.
All right, for sure. I mean, I've always been a low-key dude. But, I mean, it's basically, like I said, I grew up, down the street from Dre, watching him DJ. Just every day was just kind of like an amazing thing. Like, it was just amazing being like a little 11-year-old kid watching these dudes they killing it. And it just kind of motivated me to want to be a DJ. So kind of dropped everything else I did, dropped the turntables, and started practicing. And then luckily I met DJ Joe Cooley, and he kind of took me under his wing and taught me like pretty much the whole, pretty much what DJing is. So I'm indebted to him for that. And then, just like I said, I knew Ren all my life. And just one day, he just randomly took me around the corner to meet Easy. And it was kind of crazy because, everybody knew who Easy was. But a lot of people didn't, even hang out with him. So we just kind of clicked. And then he gave me some 1200s that same day. Like, you going to go on tour? Like, I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm still in high school at the time. It kind of was a trip. So it's just like, ended up, a lot of people don't know it. I was the original, the first DJ for JJ Fad. And then I switched it up with Train, and he started DJing for him, and I started DJing for the DLC. So that's
hold
how
on,
that.
Hold on, 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 hold on. We moving too fast, my brother. Let's rewind the time. So, you in the hood, you around the corner from Drake. At this time,
I'm on the street. Dre is on my street. He's 7 houses down, same street,
okay,
same block.
Okay, so seven houses down on the same street, right? But at this time, you still in high school. But your partner,
I was a kid, like 11, 12 when I first met Dre. Like,
so your partner is Ren. Actually,
that's
your homeboy.
Yeah.
Y'all went to school together and everything, right?
Yeah, grew up. Yeah.
Okay. So he take you around the corner, right? He take
this
you around
like when
the
I'm,
corner.
This is when I'm 17. Fast forward. It's like I'm like 17, early 17 at the time. He took me around there to meet Eric.
Right. Okay. So when he take you around the corner, Now, let's say 6 years passed. Let's say this. It's 11 years old on the block. 6 years passed, you're 17 years old. All right?
Yeah.
Now, at 17, now, you see these guys getting it. They doing their thing. They popping in the hood because I believe at that time, Dre was responsible for the Slauson mixtapes at that time.
It was the Rhodium. It was the Rhodium.
The Rhodium mixtape. We had we got a chance to interview Tony. I'm quite sure you know Tony.
That's family right there.
right. So Tony A was on the show. Shout out again to Jeff Kwan. But Tony A was on the show and he was mentioning these mixtapes. Like when Dre stopped producing the mixtapes, then he took over producing the mixtapes. So at this time, being that you between the ages of 11 and 17, I believe Dre was still responsible for the production of the mixtapes at the
Rhodium.
Yeah.
Rhodium
Squad.
Okay. Yeah, he was good. That's kind of like even when NWA was kind of being, you know, kind of fine tuned. We used to always be up there, like, cause you know, if you listen, have you ever heard any of the tapes? They dope. Like, they're really dope. So they got freestyles from pretty much everybody, but they got some EZ freestyles and Ren and just, they're amazing mixtapes.
Brass monkey, like the beat funky, nickname Eazy-E, yo, 8-Ball Junkie. Bass drum kicking and a snack got knack. And if it ain't rap, then you know it's crap. Crowd rocking, sucker socking from around the way. Got a six shooter, yo, mean I'm brave. E-balling out to find the boys to kick dust and cut. Some noise, police on my tail. I don't like jail. 40 ounce in my lap, and it's cold as hell. All
right, so now let's take it from there. He introduced you to Easy, which we all know as Easy E, aka by his government, Eric Wright. All right, everybody knows his wife Tamika. We know that. If you follow NWA, you from our era, you know Tamika too, because Tamika was the brain. At that time, she was the brain. She was the brain. She was putting stuff together.
I mean, Tamika?
Talk to me. That's why you here. Talk to me.
I mean, I can go into all kind of stuff about her. Cause yeah. Some people
talk to me. Fill in the blanks. Fill in the blanks. We got a lot of blank spots. Fill in the blanks.
I mean, Tamika came down the line, so it's just like, but she's just not what everybody thinks she is. Like, you know, I mean, it's like with her, it's a whole another story. That's like a Harry Potter novel, really.
Okay.
It's just like like that, but it was like that with like a lot of people around Eric. You know what I mean? It's just like it, and like with Jerry, me and Jerry never got along. Like from day one to, you know, to his passion.
Right.
It was just like a lot of people around that just, it was more of a like territorial type thing. It's like, okay, the thing with Jerry, I mean, I know we'd be jumping all around, but like the thing with Jerry was, it's like, he didn't want anybody close to Eric that posed a threat pretty much. So
right.
It's just like, okay, if you close to Eric or if this, that, you kind of got to be over here because I'm doing this and I don't want you knowing what I'm doing. And that's what the thing was with Jerry. And then with Tamika, it's like with her, I mean, we got time, we're going to that. Because I don't ever have anything nice to say about her, and I don't hide my feelings. She knows how I feel, and I can care less. Like, I don't. Like, it's people that were involved in Roosters. And you asked me, like I said, there's not many subjects that's off limits unless, you know, I wouldn't throw none of the dudes under the bus, but all the outside, anybody affiliated with Roosters, I mean, I'll tell you my true opinion of it, but it's like I can only speak on people that were around when I was around. And anybody after that, I don't really speak on, but it's been a problem, I guess, supposedly, with me and BG Knockout. I don't even know BG Knockout, but I guess he supposedly has an issue with me because I posted something one day that just said, I posted a picture of everybody that was now a Roosters when I was there. I guess he took offense to that, but I didn't know him. He wasn't around when I was around. So I'm not going to speak on you because I don't know you. But then I guess he's
right.
The social media thing that to be gangster with it, and you want to, if you got a problem with me, you can slide into my DM, ask my number, you can holler at me. You don't need, I don't need to publicize what I, you know, what's going on. Like, if you got a problem and you're a grown man, then holler at me. But I guess he had a problem with me, and these dudes are just weird. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, like, these dudes, they came in later, and everybody wants to claim ruthless, but everybody's not really ruthless.
Right. Okay. So now, let's go ahead and pick up right here, so all my listening audience can follow us. Because, like you said, we did jump around, which is no problem, sir.
Yeah.
You got the floor. You the guest. So it's my job to keep them up to speed. So, listening audience, loved ones out there, when he says the name Jerry, he's referring to Jerry Heller. Jerry Heller. Am I correct, DJ Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Like I always tell people, too, don't. Like, I don't really try to talk bad. Man, I mean, you know, he's not around anymore, so I don't really try to carry our beef on anymore, but I do speak on it, but I don't try to speak illly towards him because, you know, to me, that's not right. Like, man's not
right
to defend himself, so.
Right.
But,
right,
yeah, Jerry Heller.
Okay, so we all know the infamous, may he rest in heaven, rest in peace, whatever you want to say, but may we know the infamous Jerry Heller. The one who introduced Easy Nim to the game. So there was no Ruthless Records at first. So let's take it to the NWA day, because NWA was NWA before there was Ruthless, okay?
Yeah.
So now, when Easy formed Ruthless, is that the time you came around doing Ruthless Records? Because we all know and anybody who follow hip hop, who's a hip hop head, who was in our era around that time, you know that it was beef between Dre and Easy. Easy did the Dre Day only made Easy's payday. You see what I'm saying? That was a big line. That was a hell of a line. Everybody know that. If you been following this hip hop, if you follow the beef between these folks who started out as allies and became enemies, a lot of people blame that on Jerry. So when you was around, when you came around and Easy gave you those 1,200 and said, young brother, you going on tour. Like you said, you was blown away, right? But this was with Ruthless, when Ruthless was doing its thing, correct?
It was still kind of, everything was being established. And I remember we were still hanging out at Lonzo's studio. So it was still, Wrecking Crew was still kind of a thing at the time. It was the same way it was kind of portrayed. Like in the movie, it kind of portrayed it, but the thing with the movie is it threw a lot of stuff that happened kind of together, even though it was separate.
Mm-hmm.
So it made it look like a little different than it really was. And that's what Cube explained to me, like, way before the movie was even gone. He was like, you're going to see things that you're going to probably say, oh, these things happen separate, but it's like, you know, it's a movie. So they kind of, so it's kind of the same thing. But Ruthless was being established at the time. But it was still, I remember, because we used to go to Alonzo's house, and he had a studio. You go through the yard, go to the back, it was like attached to a garage type thing. And then, you know, NWA was still working out of Easy's garage. So it's like, everything was still being kind of, you know, I guess put together, you would say.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just gonna tell you about me, bro. I'm down here in Tennessee. So, you know, when I talk to somebody from the West Coast, it's love because that's my birthplace. And, you know, I show love to there by, you know, enjoying the California flower. You know what I'm saying? The famous flower from California. So we're getting into it because I'm having a great time interviewing you.
Yeah,
now, you mentioned some earlier, and we was, like you say, I might be moving too fast, but like I say, it's my job to slow it down and bring it back. Now, though you were the DJ for Ruthless, which you were the DJ for the OC, but you mentioned another group that we did not have any knowledge of prior to the show, which was JJ Flag.
That was like the original.
Hit it for him, Baby D. What's her name? Baby D. Hit it for him, Baby D. I'm coming. That's it. And the name of that song, y'all, was Supersonic, right?
And they still make
I know you remember that
because
you was part of that. The Supersonic.
Yeah, they,
you know what I'm saying?
They still going strong
hear,
to this day. They do shows almost every weekend.
Right, and listen. Was Supersonic, are they from Southern California or the Bay?
They're from out here, like Rialto area, like out in like San Bernardino area. They're from out here, not too far from where Bub the Law from.
Okay.
So they all
so
out
now,
they all out there. Basically, the Inland Empire. They call it the Inland Empire, so that's where they at. Yeah.
Okay. So now we got JJ Fad under the belt. Now let's talk about the DOC. Now you were the official DJ for the DOC, right?
Yeah.
All right, so in 2011, DOC made some comments that you felt like he sounded a bit bitter, right? Now, can you explain, and he made, and you gave an interview with DX.
Hip-Hop
explaining,
yeah.
Correct, with Hip-Hop DX, and this was done on March 9th, 2011, and I believe the guy who conducted the interview was Mr. Paul Arnold, okay?
Yeah.
So you sat down with Mr. Paul Arnold, talked to Mr. Paul Arnold, and you were speaking out about some of the comments the DOC made during that time. So if you can you give my listening audience, our loved ones out there, can you walk us back through that time? Because you was actually there. You was the actual DJ.
Yeah.
The comments he made, what made you feel like they were bitter, that he was bitter? And did you feel like he was mistreated or anything like that? Can you go ahead and enlighten us on that time? Because we weren't there. All we saw what they showed us on TV. You got it. Let's
get it. Now, with him, it was just at the time, and I don't know, it was probably maybe too wrong of me, but it was that. It was at the time when the whole everything was. That's when like the whole NWA thing, the movie thing, was kind of bubbling. So it's just like I was reading comments. It's just how he was just saying like how he built Bruce's, he built this, he built that, and it was just I kind of took it the wrong way at the time. So it was like I had an opportunity to say something about it, so I kind of did. I mean, and in all actuality, like me and Doc have been good. Like we. Me, DJ Informer, and all that, that was, like, the best of friends, like, ever, like, for me. Because, you know, he was, I'm the person, like, that was the first person. I picked him up from the airport when he first came to L.A., when he hopped in the car, and he was already writing stuff for the Easy Dubbit album, like, on the way to the studio. So his talent is beyond, like, the talent he had then, it's like people still don't have it now, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I just, like, with that whole thing, like I said, I just think it was the timing. And the stuff that was said, there was just so much stuff being said by so many people. I think I just kind of blew up on it.
Okay.
And, I mean,
okay.
We good. Like, I mean, we good. It's like on the set all the time. We follow each other on Instagram, so we good.
All right. So one of the comments.
Ain't no beef or nothing.
Okay. So one of the comments that was made was that DOC said he wrote. According to what I'm reading, the DOC made a statement that he wrote the majority of all the lines. Now, you being in the family.
I know what you say. Right, I remember that one, too. That, but I just tell people at the end of the day, you go look at the album credits. You know what I mean? But I just felt like because he took it, I think at the time I felt like he just took the credit away from everybody else. He definitely was. A huge a part of that, but it was like you also got to realize Rand probably wrote the majority of that album.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like for me, I always defend those dudes, and it's like it's kind of it's just a natural thing. I think I just like when people are taken out of the equation, just like even okay, we're gonna jump for a second, but just like even with the Strata Compton movie, I told Rand from the start, bro, like pay attention to these dudes. They're Universal. They trying to downplay everybody else that's not you know Drake. Straight Cuban air.
Right.
It didn't really resonate until that poster came out. It had just those three names on it. Then the light snapped, and it was just like, okay. But it should have snapped from before, because I was at the, mm-hmm. the production office every day, so I knew what was going on. I heard everything. They told me stuff. So it's just like, but for me, it's like, if you're going to talk about NWA, you got to talk about all seven motherfuckers. And when I say seven,
right.
I mean, I'm including DLC. I'm including Laylaw. I'm including, it's more than seven. It's just like, you got to include everybody. You got to include Arabian Prince. I don't care if you don't like Panic Zone, but you have to include him. You can't take him off the album cover. You can't take him out of the history books. It's like I tell people, when it's a lot of people that hate on me. I don't care. You can't take me out of the history books. You can hate me all you want. That's cool. You can't take me
right.
from what I did, what I experienced. So, but it's just like,
right.
I just, that's just how I am. When people mention them and they kind of don't mention everybody, it just kind of something in me. I mean, I'm different now, but back then it really snapped, because it's just like, if you're going to talk about these dudes, talk about everybody. I don't care if this dude
right.
has a billion. I don't care if this dude don't have a billion. It's like they did it together. Without everybody, it wouldn't be. Just like if Wu-Tang wouldn't be Wu-Tang if it wasn't all nine of those dudes and they thought the way they think. So it's just
right.
like you can't take away, because this dude ain't on the cover or whatever, you can't take that away. It's like if you talk about NWA, you got to mention the DLC. You got to mention Laylaw. Realistically, I was there. You got to mention me. You got to mention the people that were there. It's like you can't. We were a family. It wasn't just like, oh, these dudes are the dudes that's up there rapping, and it wasn't like that.
Get the fuck out.
You are now about to witness.
Easy time to do it easy. That's what I'm doing.
Stop. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Now, brother, we didn't took a walk down memory lane. We know who you are. All right? We know that you started with Ruthless. We know MC Ren took you around the corner. You didn't even ask for it. He was like, come on, man. You my guy. Come on, man. Come with me. So you went with him. You end up getting 1,200. You end up going on tour. You was young at the time. We got that out the way. You DJ for DOC. You DJ for JJ Fad. You done met Too Short. You done met Taj from the Alcoholics. You didn't been around.
I mean, that's my family right there. That's the Licks. That's my fam right there. Them dudes, we go back. That's my people.
right.
All the West Coast. I mean, every coast. I mean, I remember, real quick, a crazy story is when EPMD was in town back when we still lived with Easy and everything. I was hanging out with those dudes. I dropped PMD off at this one chick's house for a minute. Like
mm-hmm.
I'm everybody, every coach. We tried to be cool with everybody. And it's just like the house Easy had in Norwalk. It's a who's been there. Like from everybody, like I said, from EPMD to Quick to Mr. Cartoon, the tattoo artist, that's our dude. Like he attracted a lot of people. And it was just like, this is back then. Like it was just people just kind of resonated to him. It was the craziest thing, and that's why it's crazy without having E here now. It's like people always ask me questions about how was it, and it's like I can talk for hours about how that dude was. It's so much stuff that people don't know about Eric. Only thing most people know is Eazy-E, gangster rapper from Compton.
Mm-hmm.
People want
to
know so much more
to
about
ask
him,
you,
so much.
This is what I wanted to ask you myself personally, right? Because, like I told you, NWA changed my life. That woke up quick at about noon, had to hurry because I had to be in Compton soon. Guys, so now that changed my life. So, what I want to ask you now, I got a 2-part question. All right? Number one, first question, was Eazy-E the money man like they portrayed in the movie? Dre was going through, he was getting ready to leave. Somebody told him go holler at Eazy really wanted no music, but he had the bread. Number one, was Eazy actually that real money man making the moves like that? And number two, I want you to tell me your most memorable moment, any memorable story. You ain't got to throw nobody on the bus. I'm not asking for that. I'm just asking you to tell me your most memorable moment from Dre, from Eazy, and from Ren.
All right. First part, yeah, Eric was the money dude. He was just, he just had a vision for whatever he did. And once again, not to jump forward, but just, I mean, a vision like he signed Will.i.am before he was Will.i.am. He was still with this other group called the Ambat Clan. It's just like he saw stuff in people. Like he, and that's what he wanted to do with Ruthless. He didn't really want to be the rapper. It took them so much to get him in the booth, like so much. And so he just wanted to be the money dude, and he was kind of like the visionary. And just him getting in the booth and fucking and doing what he did, and it came out the way it did, was just basically a trifecta. You know what I mean? So he was the money dude. And the movie, like, people always ask me if I'm going to put a percentage on it, I'm going to say 80% correct, 20% was kind of falsified. Like, basically, mm-hmm. when I say falsified, I'm going to basically throw Tamika under the bus on this one. Like, anything that had to do with Eric, a lot of it was football, basically, because I sat with those dudes for hours telling them stories and blah, blah, this, and then she came in and just whatever she said they kind of went with. Like he didn't get beat up by Suge, ever. He didn't go to Jerry and cry and tell Jerry he was going to kill Suge, because that's not how he would move. Like, he, you know, Jerry were cool, but it's just like, if Eric was going to do something like that, which he wouldn't, but he's not going to go to Jerry. Like, that's not the street thing to do. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So the movie, I would say 80-20. It was just like a lot of things, like I said in there, that were put together. Like, maybe they happened separately, but just time constraints was put it together. And then there was a lot of things that didn't happen exactly. Like, Detroit didn't happen exactly like that. And then, you know, the opening scene, when they were in the hotel, that was supposed to be Nashville, because that was the Nashville show when all that happened. But it didn't happen like that. It happened at a hotel. I remember the hotel. It was like one of those hotels, like, for the outdoor type. You know what I'm saying? All the doors
right.
are outside. So
right.
That's the type of hotel happened. But that scene. Was,
right. And we call them Super 8s. We call them Super 8s and Motel 8s. And, you know, anything that's built like an apartment.
Types.
Right, it's like an apartment.
Yeah.
You got to enter
yeah.
from the outside and not the inside.
Yeah,
it's not your three-star or your four-star hotel.
Yeah, it's probably they're not in the star category. But
right. No, they're in the star category. Yeah. They probably got a 1 or a 0.5, but they're in the star category.
Yeah, but that scene in the movie where the guns and all that in the room, that was kind of depicting that original scene, but there was no guns like that involved, but they did call the chick a bitch and all that. The situation was basically like, okay, your girl was at the show, they came to the hotel. Like, okay, you found out, I guess, your girl's at the hotel, you come to the hotel, so now it's kind of a conflict. Nothing really happened,
right.
But it was one of those things, but that was kind of common on the road with us. So, It was never any shortage for stories like that. But as far as the second part of your question, like, memorable moments from all of them?
Correct.
Eric, I would say the most memorable moments are just pretty much, I mean, there's kind of two of them. It's basically when he would be with his kids, and then he did a lot of stuff for, like, other kids, did a lot of charity stuff. And you could tell it was just something that he was cool with. Like, he wasn't, you know, like, you could tell when some people doing stuff like that, they got this little look on their face, like, I want to just be gone. He was really into that. Like, I have pictures, like, in my book, I have photos of, like, him at charity events. Like, people didn't know about all this. This is not something that was just, they talked about. They only talked about negative stuff, the stuff that, I guess, would sell rap pages at the time and the sort. You know what I mean? They didn't talk about
mm-hmm.
anything that anybody did that was good like that, but with him, it was like those moments. Like, because he really loved his kids, but it was a lot of funny moments with Eric that were just, people were like really trip out about it. I mean, one story is like, it's just hilarious, because he was basically, when he was at home, because we all know Eric dealt with a lot of women, so he would come to the living room, like, where are you going? To the car. I'm like, okay. So he would go sit in the car, and we live right next to a freeway, so it was kind of loud sometimes if you got the window down. So he would
mm-hmm.
be sitting there with the window down, talking to some chick, telling him he's on the way, but he's just in the driveway. Like, he wasn't going nowhere. He just, I'm on the way, blah, blah, all the story, get out the car, come back in the house, you can go watch TV. All right, dog. Like, but he would do crazy stuff like that. He was a crazy dude, like, not crazy, just, like, he would just trip you out. Like, he would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, want to go outside and film something, like, film a video. Or like, he would do crazy stuff like that.
Right.
If he was alive today, he would be directing movies or videos or something, because he was really into that.
So that's easy. Give me one memorable moment from Dre and then Ren, because I want to say Ren for last, because that's your dude. That's your main dude.
So Dre, give
me one memorable moment from Dre.
Well, Dre is probably going to be, and it's a shitty moment, but just when he got the news that his brother had died. Because basically, I remember that day like it was yesterday. When I saw it in the movie, how they did it, it was a little different, but I just remember it like it was yesterday. We were in the tour bus, we were at a stop. Dre's pager kept going off, and he would just look at it and hit it and ignore it, and he just kept going on. I told him, you should call and see what's going on. And then he went and called. He came back crying, and Tyrese just died, blah, blah. And then we just instantly took him to the airport. He hopped on the plane and went back home. But that's like something with him that I remember like it was yesterday. And it's really crazy because I knew Tyrese too. Like, he was, you know, that was the dude. He lived over there too on our street. So that was a crazy moment with him. I mean, it's not like some funny moment, but it was just like something that I always remember.
Right. And that's a real moment, man. Don't nobody forget that. Like, and that's umpteen years later, decades later, and you still remember, like you said, like it was yesterday. Those things leave an imprint in your brain that you can't change, and you was actually around that. And that's why I ask you these questions again. Shout out to Valerie Denise Jones, Jeff Korn, and yourself for coming and sharing, man, your life, your journey with us, bro. And I really appreciate
that, always,
my dude.
And any interviews I do or give, it's like they ask me, I'm like, I try to be as real as I can. It's only person I've ever had an issue with, and even if, I don't even care about throwing his name out there because I don't really know him, but I think, what's his name, DJ Vlad TV or whatever, that dude.
Right.
He wanted
to
run.
He's a Russian.
I know a lot of people know that.
Now, I say that because I did not know who dude was until me and Valerie had a discussion really about, you know, people doing their thing. And it's no knock to DJ Vlad or anything like that. But I didn't know his background or anything when I found out he's from Russia over here doing hip-hop. Then that really put my antennas in the air to ask, are you actually interviewing people as a passion, or really are you doing it to really get information and throw people under the bus? Because
that's the type of questions he asked. Like, he basically went down like this. They reached out to me, and his assistant or whatever, she called me, blah, blah. He'll call you this day, and you guys can talk about what you're going to talk about. And we set it up for this day. And so he calls me, and we're talking, and then he's just like, oh, yeah, yeah. Then it's like, okay, just saying stuff we talk about. And he's like, same as you kind of did. Is there anything off limits? I'm like, yeah, certain things. He's like, would you be okay with throwing any of the dudes under the bus and all this? And I'm just like, bro, I would never do that. That doesn't make sense. And we kind of got into it over that. But it wasn't nothing crazy. He's like, okay, well, I have her call you and set up the point, whatever, the interview. So she called me. She's like, oh, we got to reschedule. And I'm like, nah, this time I don't even want to do it. Because I already knew what it was. It's like, if I'm not going to throw people under the bus, you didn't want to deal with me. So it's like, I don't want to deal with you either. Like, I can care less.
Right.
I'm still cool with all these dudes. This is these dudes I can talk to often. So it's like, I'm not going to throw these dudes under the bus for you to get ratings. What am I going to get out of them? I'm going to lose people I've known 30 plus years. So I'm good.
Right.
So I just feel like he's a real, I've never even seen none of his interviews. I could tell what he, and I see the people that he does interviews. So I see the quality of some of the people that don't really care. And it's like, for me, I don't care about throwing his name out there all the time, like BG Knockouts. Like, I never had a problem with him. Like I said, I didn't know him, but then he created a problem if someone's there. You got to understand, I'm not a thug. I'm not a gangster, but I'm confident too. So, you know what I mean?
Right.
We both grown ass men. If you did have a problem with me, which is not a valid one, you holler at me. Don't go on social media. Don't go saying this because I'm on Instagram and all that stuff. But I don't take that stuff serious. Like, I don't. I take life serious. Like, I'm behind it.
Well, let me commend you, DJ Speed, number one, first, for keeping it true. You don't know a DJ Vlad. And, again, not to talk bad on DJ Vlad. I don't know him neither. You know what I'm saying? So, but...
Well, reputation is everything, you know.
Loyalty. Now it's loyalty. Loyalty.
Yeah, loyalty.
See, loyalty is priceless, bro. See, that's something you can't go to Walmart and purchase. You can't go to the local store and purchase loyalty.
It don't matter how many likes you got,
it
ain't gonna come.
Thank you.
Because you got
10 million
followers, it ain't gonna That's what a lot of people don't get. Like,
yes, and you kept it real and you kept it true. And you didn't look at no financial situation. You didn't look at no life situation. You didn't look at nothing to say, let me take advantage of this moment to throw my people under the bus. Why? Because these people
would have
been thrown under the bus are the same people that gave you your intro into the game.
Right. And that's the thing with me. Even when Easy died, it's like people approach me, they wanted interviews, they wanted just people like, let's write a book, let's do this. And it's like I turned down everything. Because for me, it's never been about let me get rich off of what I'm doing. I did what I did because Dre was influenced, Joe Cooley was basically the mentor. And it's just like I love what I do, and I still love what I do. And it's like it's
right. And hold on.
It's cool. It's cool.
Right there. No. You brought his name up too many times, and I got to address that for people. Listen. This guy we're talking to right now, DJ Speed, is the protege of Joe Cooley. And for all y'all who don't know, the millennials and everybody, I want y'all to go do your homework. Rodney Yo and Joe Cooley, Joe Cooley and Rodney Yo, Everlasting Banks. Everybody
Joe
knows
Cooley,
Everlasting Banks. You can't get enough of Everlasting Banks. Come on, man. Come on, and that is Joe Cooley. Bro, I am having such a great time with this damn interview, bro.
I
got to turn it back over to you. Listen.
With
Joe Cooley, the protege of DJ Speed we're talking to now. DJ Speed, I know we've been moving fast, but let me give it back to you and slow it down.
No,
it's
definitely awesome. No, but Joe.
Yeah, but don't forget to tell the people about Ren. That's your last one to tell your story about Ren, but go ahead.
All right, I'll tell him in a second, but now I was just going to say, with Joe, it's just like I was just a determined DJ. So I used to hop on the bus and go to the club, do all kinds of stuff. And I just randomly met him at a club in Long Beach, and then we was talking, and I was like, yeah, from Compton. I was like, oh, you from Compton, too? And I told him where. And like, you know, he gave me a ride home that night, blah, blah. And from then, I would go over there, and it was just watching him was just amazing. But he pretty much gave me pretty much the insight of just what DJing was. And the crazy part that a lot of people don't know, but he'll tell you who was sitting right next to me was DJ Aladdin. It was another dude that was a protege of Joe Cooley. Like, and Aladdin is still to this day, and Joe Cooley on the turntable. Man, it's a beast.
I'm telling you. And like you say, still to this day, in my head right now, all I hear is.
You couldn't get away from it, bro.
But after you can't do another Everlasting Bass, come on, man. If you had any tight system in your car, whether it was 6x9s with some funk ass Toyota, whether it was 110, whether you had 212, whether you had 115,
you had the two,
and at that time, right. And at that time, it was Rockford Fosgate. If you weren't rocking Fosgate at that time, you ain't had shit here.
You wasn't shit.
You weren't shit. If you didn't have Fosgate in your shit, you was not nothing. Not nothing. And I know I had a prior 12 stole at the back of my motherfucking Saturn. And whoever got him, I know you've been buffing for years off my shit. If you ain't sold them, slung them, somebody ain't cared to ask for them because I'm blessed. And when you steal from me, you steal from God. Now,
back to you, my brother. Back to you, DJ Speed, my brother. Go ahead and give us that. Go ahead and give us this story about me.
Somebody wants to, before you move too far. Ali wanted to comment on something that you said earlier, and I just want to give him an opportunity before you bring in that last story. Ali, 858-322, real quick, before we move forward, welcome to the show. Did you have something you wanted to say before he gets into his MC Ren story?
No, I just want to say much love and respect to DJ Speed.
Boom.
You know, he know me, but not really, because I wasn't no groupie when I was around you, OG. You know, I've been around Scotty. I come from the Scotty D, DJ Aladdin scene, Coolio.
Oh, okay.
You know,
right.
Billy Boy. You know,
I'm from
that side of the West Coast. But yeah, I met you a couple of times. You know, I think I was with Bobcat one time when I saw you back in the
right
days.
There.
Yeah, Bobby Irvin, man, that's my OG.
That's my dude right there. That's still one of my favorite DJs ever, and that's the homie.
yeah, man, you know, and when you said Joe Cooley, I mean, Joe Cooley, that's like my brother, man, you know. Man, it's at the West Coast, and what you guys did back in the days, man, I just really appreciate it, man, because had it not been for people like yourself and Aladdin and all those people I just named and Easy and all of them, you know, we wouldn't have had no scene in L.A., man. And it seemed like y'all, you know, started DJing and rapping and, you know, all that pop locking and all that stuff right at the time when we needed to have that scene. Because I think if we'd have waited, we probably would have missed, you know, a lot of the people that came out, man.
Yeah, it was like the perfect timing because everything.
Yeah, it was, man.
It was like perfect. And it was dope. Like,
yes, sir.
We had the K-Day Mix Masters and everything just kind of fell in place. And
right.
New York already had their stuff together, so it was like we had to get ours together.
We had to do ours, you know, and Greg Mack, that's my good big uncle. I appreciate Greg. He, you know, he's still doing shows and stuff, you know. And I seen Arabian Prince backstage one day, and he damn near had a heart attack when he saw me. But, yeah. It's all good, man. I appreciate you, DJ Speed, man. Much love to you, man. And I hope we don't see each other again, brother. God bless you, man.
All right.
Okay. All right. Much love, man.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. Let's
smoke weed every day.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Ali.
You know what I'm talking about? That's Ali. That's family. Ali, we smoking every second around here. We didn't change it. And that's family of the show, man. I appreciate Ali. He rocked with me all night last night. Ali, I love you, brother. Straight up. DJ Speed, man. You see what you done did coming here, bro? You done stirred
that's
up.
Dope, dog.
Bro, you didn't start. Boy, you didn't took us back to the 10 years. Did you see how it is that everybody remembers what they were doing around that time, who they was with, calling them by name? Don't you know how special that era was, bro? You know.
You remember it all.
It changed things for us. It really, and just to paint a picture right quick before I let you get to your Ren story, I'm not going to take up too much time. It's on you, my brother. But it just to paint a picture, man, when NWA came out, it was the first time that a group, rap group, person, individual was talking about the actual thing that was going on outside in the street because we lived too long.
Yeah.
You had the Will Smith life with the parents just don't understand when he like, Mama, I want Nike, but she got you some Bobos. That was the in-house life. That was true.
Yeah.
That we can't knock that. That's why Will did what he did, because he didn't tell the street side of it. He told that when you got home and you locked your door and you were safe and your mama know where you was, and you say, well, mama, these new shoes coming out, and she say, well, baby, I can't afford those. You feel what I'm saying? That's that life.
Yeah, that's
and then you got
he
the
gave
other
life. Philadelphia life right there.
Right, and then you got the other life. when you leave home and you walk into school and you got the older partners hustling out there, doing their thing, stealing starter jackets, because that's what it was back then. It was starter jackets. If you didn't have a starter jacket back then, you wasn't popping. And a lot of people got their starter jacket jacked from them. A lot of people got their Jordans took from them based on this type of music they call gangster music. But
and it's
we all
funny.
Know it starts at home. It starts at home. Let me say that first before think gangster music gonna have your baby out here doing no. Raise your baby right. It starts at home. If you tell your baby that gangster music ain't for them, they didn't come from no gangster family, they came from this type of family, and they'll get in line and get in order. Hopefully if you there and you show up. The more time you put in, you get results from your kids. Okay. Now
yeah,
that's not the way.
Results you get.
Exactly. So NWA did that. So DJ Speed, give us your Ren story, man, and let's go ahead and get into this book, man. Go ahead.
I mean, honestly, my Ren story is going to be the same one because that's the most standout moment is just him introducing me to Eric. Like, I always tell
right.
him, like for what Ren is basically, I feel indebted. Like, you know, after Train passed away, DJ Train passed away, I DJed for Ren. So it's like we've been on the road together. We've been on the road with just me, him, and Easy. It's just like when they did Hawaii, it's just like that story is just the best one because that's the moment of something that nothing he never had to do that, and he did, and that pretty much changed my life.
Right.
Don't tell him what I mean. I was in the video games and bikes when I was younger, so maybe I would have kept riding bikes, but Ren basically changed my life because after that, I don't even think I got on enough bike. You know what I mean? Like,
man. And it's powerful to me to hear you say that in interview because Ren wasn't the standout guy of NWA. You had Q, who was known, who went on record for writing all the rhymes. O'Shea Jackson, who we know as O'Shea Jackson, Ice Cube. And then you have who we know, Andre, which is Dr. Dre. You know what I'm saying? He was the super producer, the brains, you would say, behind the group. And then you had Ren, you had DJ Yella. So Ren was like, he didn't go on to have a do other things like Dre and Cube did. So Ren, MC Ren, might have got lost behind, but Ren, to me, is a stand-up dude because of you. What you sitting here telling me right here today, if it wasn't for Ren taking you around the corner, you wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even be affiliated. You wouldn't be the DJ Steve we know today. Like you said, you might be a
one
guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 1,000,000%. And it's like with Ren, he's always been more of a laid back dude, but he's always been a dude. Even if I'm laid back, whatever I do, I'm pretty much the best at what I do. It's just like with Ren, it's always been like if in the history of just. Rap, if you listen to everybody who shouts him out, it's just like you got legends shouting him out. You got Nas shouting him out in the song. You got Andre 3000 shouting him out in songs. The first time I met Game and he found out who I was and all that stuff, he just like the first words that came out, like Ren is like one of my favorite rappers. Like, it's no matter how of an underdog he is, he it's still Ren. Like, and it's just like he is who he is. It's just like you got to accept him for he's not trying to be the actor and all this other stuff. That's not his thing. Because he was, I guess he originally was supposed to be in they wanted him in Minister Society.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see pictures of you when we used to wear the Minister Society stuff. They hollered at him about it. But that's just, Ren is just Ren. And he's always. To this day, we still talk, and it's just he's just good. You know what I'm saying? He's not – he can put out music anytime he wants. He can go do an album and feature whoever he wants, anytime he wants. But Ren is more of the – I think he's more let me kind of live my life type thing. You know what I mean? I did all that. And we did a lot in a short time. That's what a lot of people don't know. They got to – if people really check the history of NWA, it's not long. It's basically – 83, maybe 6 years long. That's the longevity of NWA. 6 years long, 2 full album, EP compilation. It's just, it's not a long, you know, like other groups, like, you know, like Kiss is still going and all these other groups still go. NWA was, that was just that window, and then that, the window was closed.
But they ain't going to never
look what
die.
They did.
They won't die because the music lives through all of us.
Yeah.
And
nobody
ever thought Dre is on the
rock
verge
and roll
of being a billionaire. Right, and Dre's on the verge of being a billionaire. Cube
Listen,
and
that's
LL
the part that people don't get. Like with me, I've seen these dudes at their worst. I've seen Dre, when Dre and Yella lived together, and Michelle A. lived there with them. I asked them. The living room was just basically boxes. With equipment came in, and the equipment was sitting on the boxes. There was no couch. It was, you know, in the room. They had a bed. I've seen that. I've seen Dre when he drove the 190 Benz. I was in Renz. I rode in Renz Datsun B210. You know what I mean? I've seen these dudes at basically, not, I wouldn't say the lowest because, you know, they're young. It's just like, you know, when you're in the hood, you drive what you get. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Parents hand you down the Cutlass. The Cutlass is yours. You're going to make it. You're going to make it the best. You're going to throw the dice up. You're going to do what you do. But I've seen these dudes all at their, basically, I would just say their beginning, their humbling. So to see, and I've had so many talks with Dre over the years, just one-on-one talk. We just talked about certain things, just talk. And just to see him go from the 190 and everything he's been through. Like for me, people always like, people say, oh, Dre should do more. And there's times that I say that. But at the end of the day, it's like, if you knew what he's been through, you would understand. Like, people just don't understand. Like, you got to understand, he's been through, he went from the Wrecking Crew, basically, got fucked over, went to Ruthless, and now that shit happened. Went to Death Row, all that shit happened. First started Aftermath, it didn't pop the way they wanted it to pop. So it's just like, he's been through it. So, at the end of the day,
he's
I feel like he does
he's
deserve
also
it.
A brother and a son. Like you said,
yeah,
you talked about him. You
and,
were there
and,
when he lost
you gotta,
his brother, and he lost his son.
Yeah, and what people don't understand, he lost the best friend because him and Eric were close, and that's what made me mad.
Right.
Because when that beef came about, if outsiders didn't play into it, it would have been better because those dudes loved each other like brothers, and that's what people don't get. People try to pit them against each other, but it hurt both of them. I live with Eric.
Right.
I live with Eric in every house, so I've seen it. I've seen the hurt. Like, I came home one day, I had an advance of the Chronic. I was just fucking around playing it, and Eric was like, oh, turn that shit off. But you could tell, like, he was fucking around, but you could tell it's kind of like it hurt him. They were close, and that's what really fucked all this up. Like, them being close and everybody around it. And the people around them knew that they was kind of egging on a lot of things. Like, even, like, I knew Snoop from Jordan and all that stuff. But then, like, we talked one night at the Compton Casino. There was like a party up there, and all the Death Row dudes were there. But we talked.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like he told me, like, look, I don't even really want to be in this beef. It's not mine. It's just like, and I told him, it's like, it's them. Let them kind of work it out. But it went the way it went. But Snoop, everybody around knew that it wasn't right. Everybody did. But I think it was just so much hype. But just like the Bad Boy Death Row thing, it wasn't nothing. But when you get people on both sides, everybody wants it to be something. So if you want it to be something so long, at some point, it's going to be something. If you take a little piece of ice and you roll it down a hill of snow, when you get to the bottom, it's probably going to be a big snowball. It's going to be bigger than the piece that you had, and that's what people they was doing with all these beefs. And it sucks because I know it sucks because I was there. That's why I say it sucks because I saw what Eric went through.
Right.
Even those disses sounded everybody. Oh yeah, but it hurt both of them. Both of those dudes were hurt. I was in the night of, I believe it was the MTV award. There was some awards out here. Dre, Michelle, and somebody else in the car with me. That's the night Dre told me he was out. And from that point on, it was bad because it was a lot that Eric kept in. And people around you that were close to him could tell you that. He kept in a lot, and it hurt him because they were friends. It wasn't like they weren't friends. They were friends before all this. That's why with the movie, when I first sat down with the lady, the writer, I asked her, I was like, Dre, if you guys talked to Dre? She was like, well, we reached out to him. He gave us a blessing, but he doesn't want to be a part. And I was like, it's not even the movie if you don't have Dre a part of this.
without those two.
Right.
It's not, how are you gonna make a movie without them two? And that's what Tamika was trying. That's where the movie came from. Tamika started this movie thing. She was trying to do a movie without anybody involved. They told her, hey, you get the guys involved, we can make it happen. And that's how that came. But it's just like, you can't do a movie without those two. And they were really close, and that's what really – people around – like anybody that was around Dre at the time could tell you. He wasn't – he can say whatever on the camera, but he wasn't happy.
We have known – to the public right now, that Easy died of HIV. Okay, according.
Okay, let me stop you right there. He allegedly. I got both fingers up. He has alleged.
Correct.
I've been saying HIV. That's been going on with me.
Okay. Okay. So that's why I got you here, DJ Speed. Let me get to it. I might not have you tomorrow, so I need to do this now. So we seen the movie where it shows Suge, right? Putting the needle in his neck because he didn't sign some paperwork or something like that. Now, I've read that Easy wasn't sick at all. That it was just something that happened real quick, real fast, overnight. So you being
Eric, right?
What's the story? How did my dude pass? Let's get it.
Listen, for me, at the time I wasn't around them. We stopped doing any kind of business, anything in December '92, but I was still up on what was going on. Basically, this dude, he passed away a year ago, Big Man. It was like one of his close friends, too. Those dudes had a test like 6 months prior to that, both negative. Then all of a sudden, Eric is sick. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he's sick again. All right. And the day, fast forward, basically the day that he supposedly died was the day he was supposed to be moved into a different room because he was breathing on his own and all this other stuff. Then she's in a room with him, comes out crying, he died. Even doctors to this day said there's no way in the world you're going to have a test and then die of full-blown AIDS 6 months later. It doesn't happen. It's not even – it doesn't happen. Like, you just it has to build up. All this stuff is a building process. So, I mean, from day one, I said something happened. I've never doubted to this day. Like, I've seen the source did something 10 years later, said something basically about almost the same thing I was saying. That doesn't happen. Like, it just doesn't. And to this day, I know something shady went on. 100%.
Okay.
Because I was around this man. I lived with him for 5 years. I was around this man all the time. I knew it. He would go on TV saying shit, oh, yeah, sometimes I fucking raw dog. Eric Wright was a condom fanatic, like, and he used lambskin Trojan condoms. Right? Everybody that is close to him could tell you that. Everybody that's close to him could tell you at some point in their life of knowing him, they ran to the store for him to get him some lambskin condoms. He's not going to die of full-blown AIDS. And the craziest part, what people don't get is, this dude did mess with a lot of women. So you die of full-blown AIDS, there's not one woman that you ever messed with that has anything. Mind you, at the time, too, Tamika was pregnant. So Tamika's fine. The child's fine. Everybody's fine. Everybody, your main chick that you would, she's fine. Everybody to this date is fine. I don't buy it. I just really don't. Suge didn't have anything to do with it. I've been knowing Suge almost the entire time with NWA. And my relationship with Suge has always been 100% different than it is with anybody else. I don't pose a threat to him, so I've never been a threat.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had the experience. He's never punked me. He's never talked. This is how good me and Suge were. He came to the Norwalk house where we lived one time, literally 5-6 carloads of people, because he wanted the reels. This is after when the Death Row thing was kind of going. So he wanted all the reels and stuff Dre did. Mind you, I'm at home by myself. They could have did anything they wanted. I told him, look, bro, the reels aren't here. You got to call Eric for that. That's between y'all. I have nothing to do with that. I'm outside. They could have did anything they wanted to me. Nothing. They did nothing. So it's just like that's my relationship with Suge is totally different than anybody else's because with Suge, it was like if you are in the industry and you pull some kind of threat and you act like you're gonna execute that threat, he's gonna check
right.
you. If you just the normal dude and you in the industry, you do what you do, but there's no threat, you're good. I've never had an issue with Suge. I've been around him when he's had issues with people, from Crazy D
mm-hmm.
to whoever, but I've never had a personal issue with Suge. Before he went to jail and all this stuff happened, I just ran into him. He just gave me his new number. Like, I don't – so, but Suge had nothing to do with Eric's death. He says things that he shouldn't be saying, but he didn't. It's out, too. I think you can get it now. Like, there's a FBI report of Eric's death in detail, but they blacked out a lot. You know how they black out people's names. It's a lot of blacking out going on, but they were doing an investigation on his death. They named a lot of people, from the JDL to, I think Jerry's name is in there, like all kind of people. And then how they said he died
mm-hmm.
broke. He was worth $33 million when he died. You can't be worth $33 million and be considered broke. Like,
right.
So it's a lot of things.
Because Dre Day only made Easy's payday.
And from what I heard, and I don't know if this is true, I never, like, looked into it, but from what I heard, to get Dre involved in the movie, she had to give up
mm-hmm.
that right for the money that was
oh.
he was still getting. That's what I heard.
Oh.
It's something that,
oh.
I mean, it's all Dre, but I'm still putting it out there because it's more Tamika. Like, I don't care about
right.
the people that was out there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But
that's
just what I heard. I never looked
okay.
into it.
Okay, allegedly, let's use that word again. Allegedly,
yeah.
in order for Dre to participate in the movie, she had
allegedly.
To live. Right, allegedly, she had to live. Before Easy died, when in Real Compton City G's, when he said, well, Dre Day only made Easy payday.
Yeah.
So now Dre
yeah.
got from under that just when the movie was made to participate in the movie, allegedly.
Yeah, that's
allegedly.
It's more to the story. It's more to the story, but I don't want to put people some other people's names. But that's just what I heard. I mean,
okay.
I don't know. It was a lot of stories involved. Right,
so,
it's just
so,
like,
right,
her,
so,
she's not good people. To me, she's just not good people. She's never
okay,
been.
Okay, so DJ
and,
C, we going to leave that right there. We going to tuck that to bed right there. We got it. It's there. We going to leave that. What I want to do now is talk about you, the reason why you're here. We want to talk about you. We didn't talk about the past. We didn't did enough about the past. People, if you didn't get the past, if you just tuned in, guess what? You got to wait to post production because we'll be out on 7 platforms. And please go like, subscribe, and share, and go download it. Do whatever you got to do to listen to it because we're about to move on.
So, yeah, so I did this book with this dude. I don't even want to mention his name because he's kind of odd right now, but we're still selling the book. So I'm working on a new one, though. I want to do one more or less with the photos. I want to put the stories with each photo. Or at least a lot of the photos. I don't know about each one.
Well, listen, I'm going to tell you this. If you do a part two, please do a part two with a soundtrack. And I want
to be on it. That's what I'm doing. I'm working
on it. I want to be on it. I'm saying I want to be on it. I want to. You know what's great?
Basically what I was trying to do
right now. I want to be on it.
I want to do a lot of people mad at me too because I was supposed to do it like 4 years ago. I'm working on an NWA mixtape, but I was trying to do it where it kind of goes with the book. And that's what a lot
mm-hmm.
of people don't get. They get mad at me. Like you said, he's going to put this out 4 years ago. But it's like basically I'm trying to, because I have an unreleased version of that song, Just Don't Bite It. I have unreleased song with DLC, Bridget. I have the demos. I have like 4 or 5 songs from demos of the Niggas for Life album. I have something else, too. And then I have a couple unreleased Ren songs that he don't want me to really put out, but on the mixtape, he can't get mad. So I have a few things. I need to get drops from each one of those dudes, too. And it's like, I'm trying to get drops from everybody kind of affiliated with Rufus. Because I want to just put together something that I feel, in my opinion, is a masterpiece. And I did the EZ Mega Mix. Basically, Priority gave me 2 days to do a mix, and they wanted the radio version and the dirty version, so I kind of combined both of them because I didn't really have a lot of time. But now it's like
okay.
I have time, so I want to.
So we,
I just want to put together something that people will be like, this is really dope. This is something that I play because I want to give people basically NWA a playlist. What people want to hear is just something that I feel that people just, when they're in that mood, they're going to play this thing all the way through. It's not like, oh, let me, I don't want to hear this. I want you to play it all the way through. I want it to be the Illmatic of mixtapes, basically.
Right.
And that's why it takes me like a minute to do it.
And I want to tell people this too, man. We can't mention Ruthless or talk about Ruthless without mentioning Bone. That was the dopest group, probably the most highest grossing in album sales on Ruthless, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know, people.
I'm just speculating
at this point. But I'm speculating that Bone was the highest album selling group Ruthless had. Thuggish Ruggish Bone, that album, Mr. Ouija, Crossroads, man, them folks was everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
So go ahead and speak on that, my guy. Yeah, like I left right before they came, but it's like over the years or whatever, it's just like I kind of linked up with them through people that I know that know them. Like, it's crazy because I've never met them, but Crazy Bone and I forgot which other one. They came to a birthday party I had because my boy, he knows them. So he's like, hey, come, because he told them who I was. And they came to the party, lit it up. They were on the mic all night, shouting me out. And it's like, this is the first time I met him. I'm like, these dudes are dope as fuck. Like, you know what I'm saying? These dudes are cool, but that just, those dudes are an example of what I say when Eric was a visionary. He saw stuff in people that they probably didn't even see. Like, when he met Bone, My boy, the security that was Eric's security that lived with us, like, I still talk to him to this day. He tells me, he's like, Speed, you knew Eric. And that was like I've never seen him sign a group so fast in my life. We basically met those dudes and signed them like the next day. Like, that's how fast he wanted to mess with those dudes. Like, got contract and everything done in like a day. So it's just like, look at Will I Am now. Like, Will I Am? Come on, really? Like,
but to me, listening to you and being part of this great interview, bro, the same way he gave you them turntables, them 1200s, the first day he seen you, like you talking about visionary, is the same way he signed Bone. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like
and
it's no different.
Same
and to me, that's
Ren and everybody.
Right, and to me,
that's character.
He was
the type of person that if you were around him, if people saw you around him, it's like you were a good person. And that's just the type of person he was. So just like people that he was close to, it wasn't like a whole lot, but those are the people that he felt, okay, you deserve to be around me. But it's just like I said, I wish he was still here. I just wish people could experience him. I wish a lot of rappers were still here. But Eric is just one I knew, and I just wish people could have really got to know more of him because they didn't. Just like with Tupac, what would he have been like? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like you wonder, especially when you know somebody, you know their character. And it's just like with him, he wanted greatness. He just wanted to help people. I mean, This dude was 1990? What rappers was driving around in 600 D12? Had the first eight. He had one of the first 850s on the 850 or 650, whatever that BMW. He had the first ones on the street. This was in the 90s. This is 90. So it's just like he knew what was up with stuff, but he just wasn't like these dudes now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody has to post what they do on Instagram, and it's just, you know, it's cool. Some things don't need to be on Instagram.
Right. Now, check it out, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, check it out, Speed. I know we've been moving along. I dropped off, came back.
But I don't wanna
hog the interview, man, because I can't. Like,
oh no.
Bro,
no,
me
you got the questions, I got the answers.
We can sit here No, but we can sit here and talk. It just feel like I'm talking to a long-lost friend who's let me in on something I always love. You feel what I'm saying? Like I'm
that's how I like to be.
Info,
like,
bro.
Like anybody that talks, if you talk to anybody that knows me, they'll tell you. That's how I am. I'm cool. I like talking about this stuff. Just, I mean, as long as it's not, like I said, some DJ Vlad stuff, I love talking about it. Because, like I said, people, like, if you would be surprised, I get so many messages in my DM from, and even from kids all over the world. And it's crazy because I start the kids as young as 10. And I'm like, well, like, when you was 10 back in the day, you couldn't listen to this. You were listening to this.
Right.
When the moms leave to go to the store right quick, you might take your tape from underneath your mattress. But other than that, you wasn't. And these dudes are just easy on their pages, all the songs. They're like 10, 11, 12. I'm like, damn. But they ask me, they always ask questions. They want to know because the movie gave you answers to things, but they didn't give you answers to Eric. And that's something that I want to do so badly. I want to, just like when I saw the Wu-Tang documentary, it made me want to do it even more. I'm like, man, it could be a easy documentary that goes into NWA, that goes into all the Rufus artists. Because I want something that tells everybody. I can't just tell this story because in all actuality, and this is the truth, J.J. Fad built Ruthless. NWA didn't build it, and anybody would tell you that. Anybody that doesn't tell you that is lying. They built it. They're the ones who went gold first. They brought the money in.
Right.
And then that money made everybody else a star. So if you're gonna highlight Ruthless, you can't leave J.J. Fad out. I didn't control the Stratocaster movie, so that wasn't in my control. But if it was in my... I mentioned everybody when they would ask me, who should we talk to? You got to talk to Laylaw. You got to talk to J.J. Fad. Why isn't Arabian Prince? But, I can only say so much. But if I'm going to do something, I want everybody to be a part of it because everybody was
crazy.
A part of it. Everybody played their part. Like I said, without J.J. Fad, who knows if NWA would blow up? Because who knows if that all that money would have been there? But that's how it worked. It started with J.J. Fad. So if you're going to do a movie about Ruthless, if you don't mention J.J. Fad, you're bogus. And that's just the truth. If you don't mention Arabian Prince, you're bogus.
I know J.J. Fad. Everybody knew J.J. Fad. Supersonic Motivated Rhymes I created. Everybody know that J.J. Fad is devastating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody, like, if you grew up in that time and you lived, that was all on the radio. But I did not know J.J. Fad was signed to Ruthless. They did not know that.
They were the first ones, the first gold artist.
They did a great ass job of disassociating Eazy-E from J.J. Fad. Now I'm gonna tell you that because Eazy-E was not associated with J.J. Fad at all. I did not know in the public eye. I did not see Eazy with J.J. Fad. Whoever was the marketing guru behind that, I don't know if that was Jerry's job. Oh, what? I don't know if Jerry Heller told Eazy fall back, let J.J. do J.J., because if there is any type of gangster attached to J.J. Fad, that will not sell no record. And I guess
that was,
whatever.
That was kind of the format, I think. I think that was kind of the format, but it was more or less, at the time, I'm going to be dead ass honest, Ren and Eric didn't really resonate with the fast stuff. I'm just going to be dead ass honest. It was time for Eric. I don't even want to cuss that much right now. I can tell you some words he said about that. So he didn't, he supported it because it was Ruthless, but he didn't really support it like that. You know what I mean? But that's a good thing because maybe it would have, if it was attached to that, maybe it would have been something different. But it wasn't, they was attached.
Right.
Basically, like J.J. Fad was basically attached to Salt and Pepper. You know what I mean? Like this,
correct.
These are the females you gotta look for.
Correct.
There's three over here, three over there. You
correct.
Know, we
and then,
we don't
and then
care.
Oaktown 357.
Yeah,
Oaktown 357 was after that because they was behind Hammer. Because Hammer was selling records at that time.
Yeah, we were cool.
All
like,
right, guys,
I told you,
we're down to the last 15 minutes, so we're either going to have to do a part two or a special edition or something else. Because, they're going to shut the lights off on us. Here in just a second. Let's bring in one more caller, and then I also want to give Jeff Kwan a chance to shout out. I'll give him a chance to say hello while we're live. 407-308. You got about 5 minutes to make a comment. You're live with DJ Speed.
Hello?
Hello, you're live. 407-308. Your mic is live.
Hey, what's going on, guy? What's up, Philo?
What's up with it? What's up with this, Mo?
Yeah, man.
What's up with it, bro? You got it. You got it. You live. Let's get it.
Hey, man. You know what it is, man. What's up, big homie? Root this records all day, baby.
Oh, that's dope.
Hey, man, this one thing I wanted to say about the NWA story, though, man. This was coming from my heart, man. Now, I love the movie. What I didn't like what Universal did on some sucker shit was, you know, they put, you know what I'm saying, Ice Cube, Eazy-E, and Dr. Dre name out there. But to leave out DJ Yella and MC Ren, name out in that head thing, that shit was disrespectful as hell if you was a real NWA fan, bro. Because it's like, if you do a Beatles movie, you're not just going to put John Lennon and Paul McCartney. You got to put Ringo Starr and the other George Harrison on there. So why would they, you know, what was the main reason why they did that shit?
That's what I spoke on that kind of briefly. I was just saying, because I was telling Ren, because I was at the production office every day. Like, they met me, because Yella was there, and he was kept mentioning my name. So they like, okay, we'll holler at him. So they hollered at me. I told him what I got. I came down. So I was there every day. So I seen everything that was going on. I told Ren, I was like, kind of watch out for these dudes, because they trying to – and people, everybody thinks it was Dre and Cube. It wasn't them. It was Universal.
But see, Ren had a story, too.
They was trying to downplay it, and I would always tell them, like, hell no, this is, he was involved, this, so it's just like, I think they went off of what they saw. You see Q, Mo Tives, you see Dre, Billion, you got it easy. They just figured Yella and Ren were, you know, they were there. It wasn't like that.
That pissed me off right now, bro.
It made a lot of people.
I'm talking about, like, you know, if you real NWA fans, you like, man, how the hell you gonna leave out? You know, when was just as nice as Cube at one time, bro?
Bro, and if you look at the Easy Does It album, like I said earlier, too, Ren has more writer credits than everybody on there. Like, that's what people don't. People just go by what they hear. They don't go look. So if they did research, they would see Ren is a big, gigantic part of Ruthless. You got who wrote after Cube left? That's what people don't realize, and it's like to leave him out.
Also, remember y'all had a white rapper on there named Terry B too.
Yeah, oh, Terry B. They had the Jewish rapper Blood of Abraham. There's a lot of people.
H.W.A.
Don't know about. Yeah.
I go way back with his Big CPO Boss Hog. I'm a minister of society.
That's my dude right there. Yeah, he was signed to Ren, actually. And through Capitol.
Dang, boy, CPO was nice with him.
He's still doing his thing. You know, he had the success with Pac, everybody. So.
Yeah, man, right. I'm talking about Ruler's ass from his, bro.
It was a lot going on. I mean, it was just, like I said, but in such a short time, so much was done. It's just, it's crazy because, you know, most labels just, they're still going, but Ruthless, you know, after Eric died, it basically Ruthless died because everything just kind of fizzled. So the span is not that long, but the catalog is.
And you know what's so crazy, man? Jerry Heller family is still trying to get the, you know what I'm saying, the crumbs off. Hey, man, I'm just like, bro, they ain't giving up, bro. That's sad.
They need to let it go. You know what I mean? It's just like it was. Jerry did a lot of bad, but like I said, I can't speak on the man because he's not here to defend himself. I'm not HBO. I'm not gonna be speaking on people when they ain't here to defend themselves. But
respect.
They just need to let it go. All that stuff that after the fact somebody passed, just let it go. Stop trying to get more money from something that you know, and at the end, it ain't right.
And he ain't writing not one song, man.
wasn't in the gym shooting ever. Not in the gym shooting me at all. Bro.
All right. One more person. Let's open up the mic. You guys can
take care, y'all. What's up? Take care,
Philo.
All right. Respect.
Your mic is still live. We're just going to bring in one more person. We can have a kind of a round table the next five or so minutes. But welcome, 650-273 from the Bay Area. We got Mr. BT Media. Jeff Kwan himself. Welcome, welcome to the show. How are you?
Jeffy!
Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
In the background. I know he multitasks a lot. Hey. How are you?
I'm here.
I wanted to give you a chance to give a shout out.
It's cracking, sir.
Oh, nothing less. Good stories.
Enjoying this time. It'll be fun.
And I can't wait for the next book. I'll come down again, get the next book.
I'm trying to do something big. I want to do a big book, the Harry Potter novel.
Yeah, I told him the next book, I got to be part of the CD, the mixtape, whatever.
The Compton Part 2?
Yeah, I got to be part of it. And listen, I just want an old, ruthless track, and I bring it back to life. That's it. That's all I'm saying. That's all CeeLo the Great asking for. It could be Compton City G's, real Compton City G's, because that track dope as fuck. So we can get into that one. We can do that one.
There it is. You already got it mapped out. It's dope.
Hey, at this time, DJ Speed, what I want you to do, man, I want you to have the final words right now, your final words, and then I want you to get your contact information, man, your social media, plug anything you want to plug, bro. It's your time. You got it. Let's get it.
I just want to say I appreciate this interview. Definitely want to continue it at another time, whatever. But I definitely appreciate it. I mean, I can speak for everybody to definitely appreciate all the love over the years. Come on, dude, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, two almost $300 million movie. It's just like nobody knew this would happen. This was never planned. It was just food from Compton doing what they love. I guess the world loved it too. But yeah, as far as social media, Instagram, the Twitter, all that crap, it's everything. It's DJ Speed NWA. All my social media is under.
And there y'all got
thank
it,
you,
man.
Thank you.
DJ Speed NWA. You know, we appreciate you. Thank you. Like Valerie just said, Valerie, come on in and talk to him and say what you got to. Hey, close the show. I had a great time. I am CeeLo the Great. Follow me on all social media. It's the same on all social media outlets. TH like phone, ELOTHEGREAT. Again, get rid of the quitter, Bobby Chill Me, do something, will something, won't something, do something, don't. If you got a problem with it, you got two choices, either check it or respect it. Valerie.
All right. Thank you. Thank you guys so much for that. Great interview, CeeLo. Great energy. Totally enjoyed that. Learned a lot. And I'm definitely going to need to get a soundbite because, yeah, I think that we need to know what is actually going on and how it's being robbed and raped because they have no problem pillaging the village. And I think we give it away a little too easy. 407-308, real quick, can you shout out your T-shirt company and any social media you'd like to share?
Yeah, man, y'all get a chance, check me out, www.moflytees.com. You know, just get my shirts on, you know, taking the interest, hit me up.
Awesome, thank you so much. 858-322, Ali, are you there? Go on and give us a shout out, let us know how we can find you.
Ali on Facebook, God Rap Man on Twitter.
Yeah, I still haven't made that sound bite for you. I got to figure out how to do that. Yeah. Yeah. And again, big shout out to Jeff Kwan. He had to dip out for a second, but please make sure that you look for him on all social media. Because he is doing his thing, definitely. Thank you so much. Big, huge round of applause. It's the biggest applause I can give you. Both to you and CeeLo the Great. Thank you. Yes. You guys did a great job. Yes. I fan. I learned a lot. But, yeah, I need to call you back. We got to get you on the line so we can get some sound bites from you so we can break this thing up and make sure that people get the information. Yeah, because a lot of the platforms, you know, cut us off right about 60, but I want to make sure that we cut this up right and give it its due diligence. But anyway, guys, thank you so much. This is it, Big Exclusives. I'm Valerie Denise Jones. ValerieDeniseJones.com is where you go for the behind-the-scenes info, 929-477-1167. See you on Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Judge Joe Brown Show. Thank you. Thank you so much. Philo, I needed your speech, but you already gave it. Any final words, any five-second wrap-ups, or are we done? Are we finished?
Man, look, I'm just DJ Speed again, Jeff, Mo, Ali, everybody listening, man. I had a great time with the interview. That's my era. I roll with that era from Dre, the Chronic, Easy, to the Beast, to the Compton City G's, Dre Day, Only Lay, Easy's Payday, to now knowing that that's the only way, allegedly, Dre was to participate in the movie. Like, to know that that shit carried over that
allegedly.
Long. Allegedly. Come on, bro. You need to tell me this shit.
Allegedly.
And if you made this shit deferred. I'm telling you, and if you didn't, y'all better stay tuned for part two. Valerie's going to get DJ Speed, he already agreed to it, to get exclusive, to talk about that DJ Vlad dude who obviously just wants to throw people. Man, come on, bro. Real folk don't do it. Oh, I ain't going to even talk on that. But look, it's a part two coming, y'all. Look, I got to go. I got to go again. I had a great time. DJ Speed, get with me, bro, because I do want to, and I mean that. No jokes, no nothing. I want to be part two. I want to be on the soundtrack, bro, because I got something to say, bro, and I promise you the world gonna love it. But with all due respect, man, thank you, bro. I thank you for that, DJ Steve. Now that's recorded. Now you know you're on the recorded line, like they tell you when people call.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You
on the recorded line? Okay. Yeah. You on the recorded line? Okay, yeah, so we're going to make that happen. So we got a part two coming, people, and we're going to make the other part happen. DJ Speed, listen, before you get up out of here, before I turn it back over to Val, before we shut the lights out, we need them autographed copies.
I got
you. We'll talk about that behind the scenes, too. Other than that, people, y'all listen to the playback, download it again. Valerie Denise Jones on all social media platforms. Go to her YouTube. Download this epic episode because it will be out there on about 7 platforms. So it'll be anywhere you type it up because this was a dope-ass interview and she got a dope-ass platform. So with that being said, man, I'm going to get up out of here again, man. It's your boy, Philo the Great, man. Follow me on all social media platforms again. PH like phone, ELOTHEGREAT. Get with it, put it, barbecue me, do something. Will something, want something, do something, don't. If you don't like it, man, you got two choices. Kevin, either take it or respect it. Valerie.
Now that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Cruising down the street in my 6-4. Jocking the freaks. Clocking the dough. Went to the park to get the scoop. Knuckleheads out there. Cold shooting some hoops.